This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get to it in the last segment because we got in the whole gutter tangent and home improvement project painting tangent. But 60 Minutes did this piece on UFOs. And when 60 Minutes does something, it lends credibility. I was telling Drab during the break, I see these stories all the time. Usually they're from like the Daily Mail or something like that. Somebody spots something. But 60 Minutes did a piece, and I was watching it during the break. They had two pilots, and one of the pilots was a woman, and she said, I never wanted to be on national TV. You never know. But they seem credible.
Well, they're not making it up. They're definitely out there.
The guy said that he saw...
Like, are these commercial pilots?
No, they were
like military pilots.
Military pilots from like the Top Gun program.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they saw something over the water. Well, they'd gotten a report apparently that some object had dropped like 13,000 feet in like a second, and then it was like hovering over the water. They described it as like white water, and then the guy said it was like a tic tac. You know, in the distance, he saw like this tic tac. And then when he started moving closer to it, I guess he flies closer to it, the tic-tac starts mimicking his movements.
Once in a blue moon.
And then just disappeared. And they tried to explain it. They couldn't explain it. You know, was it a helicopter? Was it a drone? And they just don't know. But that was just one of many incidents.
Is that the one where I saw the report where they said he saw it every day for 2 years? Is that the same guy?
I'm not sure. I don't think that's
that different one. That's off the coast of Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Look at Drab, UFO expert over
so
there.
So they've seen off the West Coast, and they've seen some off the East Coast.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this a repeat 60 Minutes?
I don't believe so.
No, because Senator Rubio was like commenting on it, saying that, we got to take this stuff seriously.
Okay.
Hey, look, I've seen enough sci-fi movies from Contact to Independence Day. I almost buy in a little bit. And you will say,
Buy into what?
That it could be some...
Could be what?
There could be a whole nother planet out there that's light years ahead of us, technology-wise.
I refuse to believe
and
that.
And we're like their zoo. We're like insects to them.
Right, we're just a sim being run. I think it's arrogant to believe, in a universe as vast as the one we live in, that we're the only planet where it's possible to have...
intelligent life.
Like, human-type life?
I just think that if it was true, they would have invaded us already. They would have done whatever they were going to do. They would have captured us.
But
they would have killed
us. Do you invade, like, ants? Ants
have
their, like,
Mars. Farms. We invade the moon. We invade anything we can get our hands on.
Understood, but I don't know.
Look, you know what it
I'm 99.9% with you, EB.
It's military
but there's
exercise.
But why would the military have to investigate their own stuff?
Nah, because it's leaking out and they're just covering. I don't trust any of them. They're all liars.
So it's a top secret military program that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah.
That's what they're seeing flying around.
Yeah, they're all liars.
It's just hard to believe. It's just hard to believe.
I mean, I just don't believe in aliens. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, I might believe in a bug alien, but I don't believe in like some silly rocket that has this insane technology.
But All I'm saying is, if we can improve technology-wise, people in the 60s couldn't imagine what we do with our phones, right? Couldn't imagine it. Why couldn't there be technological advancements that we can't imagine right now?
There are. There are. From our military. Or the Chinese military. Who knows what those...
Or from a extraterrestrial military.
No. There's Cakes. More evidence of that. There'll
Cakes, do you actually believe that?
A very small part of
but me believes. But what if we're
that.
Way behind?
Not the biggest.
What if we are like Neanderthals to those people?
Because we've done enough exploration that I think there'd be more evidence of it.
I mean...
Yeah, but we haven't done...
Why haven't we... Why isn't anybody...
We haven't done any exploration of the far reaches of the universe.
Well, of course, it's impossible to get out there.
I would think that we would have evidence of it.
You think our nubs Hubble's going to pick it up?
I would think we'd have debris, or we'd see their satellites or something. I don't know.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Talking about the 60 Minutes piece.
There's no chance it's
aliens. Are you buying in? Why does it seem like there are more nowadays, like reports? It's just... proliferation of news.
I think they're just acknowledging.
I do always think like these people who see it, and then like, how come nobody has a good shot? Like cameras are so good right now. Like I've seen in the last month in particular a lot of my mom's pictures from like the 50s and 60s. Those are nubby or like Polaroids. Like nowadays, a good iPhone can take an amazing shot. Why do we never have like amazing pictures? It's just a guy saying he saw a Tic Tac.
Well, yeah, I'm reading. I don't know when this was, but I'm reading the story. Mm-hmm. And the two pilots were interviewed. It was 2004 when they saw something.
Correct.
It was 17 years ago. And now they're just talking about it?
I think they're just acknowledging it, maybe. I don't know.
Let's go to Steve in Vienna on line 3. Steve, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good morning. Hey, what's up?
I just want to say to JP's point, I did see the 60 Minutes segment last night, and if you missed it, there's something called 60 Minutes Overtime. And really quickly, I just got somewhat convinced during the show because, you know, the two pilots, military pilots, were talking about an encounter they had, and it was like no exhaust, no plume. I believe plume means exhaust. And just got me thinking about, you know, how do these things refuel, et cetera, et cetera. And I just thought maybe at the end of the night it was just maybe some refractory light that, adversaries are pulling on us because, you know, they're doing the hacking. Why wouldn't they do something like this as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
makes all
be.
Sense
yeah.
in the world. I guess light could do that kind of movement, right?
Always blame Russia.
How close are the pilots?
Always blame Russia and China.
How close are the pilots actually getting to these objects?
I don't know.
Doesn't seem very close at all.
Yeah. Let's go to Dave, College Park, line 2. Dave, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
What's up, Dave?
Did you watch?
Listen, yeah, I've seen this nonsense, man. Listen, this is just the biggest nonsense stuff I've ever heard. Y'all been watching too many films. Y'all just, I mean, come on, man. You're going to believe the Tooth Fairy is real.
That's our only frame of reference is movies. We're well aware.
With all the facts and technology that's out there, with all the microscope, everything that we're watching everywhere, and you're trying to tell me y'all believe in this kind of nonsense stuff, y'all, seriously, I mean.
I said 0.1% chance.
I can't believe it.
Y'all, after a big win on the playoffs, we're talking about this stupid stuff here. There is no chance this stuff is real. Okay, it's clear military operations. We've been talking about this stuff for 40, 50 years. There's never been any kind of real evidence. Seriously, let's move on from this stuff.
Dave, we did a full segment on the Wizards. I didn't hear Dave from College Park call.
No,
we
he
talked about
did.
UFOs, and he called.
Oh, no, he actually
oh, this
did
guy's
call.
Called back twice?
You did call, didn't you? You wanted to talk about the Wizards, didn't you, Dave?
I did want to talk about this, but since you all want to talk about silly stuff, okay. Then let's talk about the other. I'll talk about it. Listen, I understand, just like I said, EB, I agree with you. It's clear military something. There's no way with all the technology in all these countries, with NASA and all those millions of dollars that we spend, you think they wouldn't find out something out there? Listen, it's clearly something the military side they don't want to talk about, because then if you talk about that, they're going to start digging into things. It's clearly something like that. Don't believe in the ghosts, okay?
Have all a right, good Dave. Day,
I'm going to believe in you, Dave. I put my faith in you.
I generally don't believe in ghosts. Some people believe in ghosts.
Hold on. If it was a light thing, though, wouldn't there be a trail of light? Or can you just beam just like a dot?
Like a hologram?
Yeah.
Well, there are holograms.
This particular video, it looks like it's blinking. The light is blinking.
Uh-huh. But wouldn't you be, if it was light, let's just go on a theory. It's the Russians or it's China. And they're beaming some light, and they're just kind of messing with us, right? Wouldn't there be a ray of light?
Right. You're like a sunbeam.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think.
You can't just make a dot appear. There has to be a trail.
All I know is you can believe it if you want, but why wouldn't there be contact at some point? There's never contact.
They would blow us to smithereens.
Well, they don't necessarily want to blow us up. They don't necessarily want to blow us up, but why wouldn't they land on the beach?
Right.
And hang out.
They don't know how silly the beach is.
They want to hang out.
They don't have beaches on their planet.
Or land on the water. I mean, they don't do this. There's no contact.
There's no contact. There's no ETs.
Let's go to Brian in Burke. Brian's on line 4. Brian, what's up?
Hey, how y'all?
What's up? Hey, man.
Listening forever.
Thanks,
hey, this stuff has always fascinated me, but my mind's very open because there's actually multiverse. There are millions of universes, not just ours, with suns and planets.
Correct.
They think you can inhabit life, but from getting there from here is the hard part. So that I seen that story on the Tic Tac a couple years ago, and they've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. When it was hovering over the water, they said there was another ship that was under the water, and the water looked like it was boiling. But there was no vapor trail, no markings, or nothing. And the thing could travel literally about 13,000 miles an hour. Our bodies couldn't handle that G-force at all. So all this is super fascinating. I thought that the Tic Tac moves like a mouse on a computer screen, if you notice. Like that herky-jerky, like you're moving a mouse.
Right, exactly.
I thought that was fascinating. But, yeah, you would see a light beam, like a laser, certain mist, you're going to see the beam. There's a tribe in Africa called the Dogon tribe. They go back a long ways. They've always worshipped the Sirius star constellation, which we didn't even prove its existence to the 2000s. Western science couldn't even prove it existed. How did they know about it? They said their ancestors, and they passed this along, through the years, a ship landed on the planet and educated them on the star system.
Right.
They spoke the same language.
If you believe that, you're nuts.
No, they drew some hieroglyphics.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go to Brendan. Let's go to line 6. Let's go to Brendan in Richmond. Brendan, what's up, buddy? Y'all in the jumps.
Brendan, what's up?
So I think for years, people just assume the government's always lying to them. So
yes.
It was always this government conspiracy. But now we have private companies exploring space. We have Elon Musk company trying to get, billionaires to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an interview with him. I think it was Joe Rogan did an interview with him because Joe Rogan's all this conspiracy theory stuff. And Elon was like, if anybody would know, it would be me. There's no aliens. So it's just different now. It's not like in the 70s when only the military and the governments could explore space. Now individuals are exploring space. So if it was ever going to come out that there were secrets, it would come out now.
By the way, if I were ever a billionaire, which we know will never happen, the last thing I'm going to do is blast myself off into space and risk my silly billionaire status on Earth.
I would never
do
that.
Are you kidding me? It would never, ever, ever happen. Sure, I'm going to do that.
They're part of the 85% if they do it.
I'm going to slingshot myself up to Mars.
It's one of those things, JP, where I have to see it to believe it. I'll never believe it until I see it on the news.
Well, you're never going to see it.
Correct. I'm never going to see it because it doesn't exist.
Right. All right, coming up next, we do know what exists. Game 2 tonight, but we don't know who's going to be in goal for the Washington Capitals. Samantha Pell covers the Capitals for the Washington Post, joins us next to talk game 2 of their playoff series here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, getting geared up for game two of Caps Bruins.
Right.
Caps win game one. And join us right now to give us a little insight on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It is Samantha Pell, who covers the Caps for the Washington Post. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning. Hey, guys.
So earlier we were talking about what's the biggest question, which is who's going to be in goal? Do you have any info or inclination as to who's going to be the goaltender for the Caps tonight?
No confirmation for sure, but it looks like all signs point to Craig Anderson. We'll get the game two start tonight. Vitek Vanacek is still day-to-day with a lower body injury. We'll get more updates on him later today at morning skate. Ilya Samsonov is off the COVID list, but yesterday was his first day actually on the ice working out in 2 weeks. So maybe not the best idea probably to throw him in net right early on. You don't even know if he's going to dress necessarily today. So we might see a Phoenix Copley as your number two tonight. But yeah, still a lot of questions headed into game two.
So where was Copley in week the game one? He was like on their taxi squad. Is that right?
Yeah, Copley was on their taxi squad. He played all year in Hershey and their AHL team. So he wasn't even on the bench dressed. So that, I think we were kind of talking about it the other day. Seems like he was probably just in the press box, saw what happened to Vanacek, probably had to run down to the locker room and just honestly probably sat there dressed, waiting.
So in that scenario, if something had happened to, what's the guy's name?
That was Anderson.
Anderson. He could have played?
Yes. Yeah, wow. Phoenix Copley would have been their emergency backup goalie in that situation.
Well, Samantha, do you have a gut as to how long the leash is for Anderson?
You know, I think honestly at this point probably a pretty long leash if it is Phoenix Copley behind him, just because we did see what Craig Anderson did in game one. I think, you know, you kind of have to trust him at this point in game two. They know he's a veteran. He's been in the situation before, obviously, with Ottawa. But, you know, with no Samsonov possibly, with no Vanacek possibly, I mean, this is your third-string goaltender. I mean, really, probably your fourth with no Lundqvist this season. So, yeah, I say it's probably a long leash tonight.
Samantha, is the assumption that Vanacek suffered a groin injury? We saw him grab at his hamstring briefly when the injury happened. Do you have any insight there? And do we know how long he might possibly be sidelined at this point?
Yeah, no insight there, but I think you're absolutely right. I mean, when you just watch the replays, it does definitely look like a groin, a hamstring. I mean, it looked like he knew immediately when he went down. And Laviolette said yesterday he has no update on the severity. He doesn't even really want to disclose if it's a long, you know, a long-term day-to-day or a short-term day-to-day. But yeah, a lot of questions still left in the air, but I wouldn't even expect him today.
Now, another goalie on the squad at this point, is it Zach Fucale? I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Also in Hershey. I mean, give us some background on him. I'm guessing that's a guy you're just not going to see. He's there, you know, in case of any sort of weird emergency.
Something
happens to Copley.
Right, yeah. He's now the emergency backup in this situation to Craig Anderson and Copley, if those are the three goaltenders that are going to dress tonight. But, yeah, he's another one that was playing all season in Hershey. He's 25, doesn't have that NHL experience, so he's very similar to a Vitek Vanacek in that sense, but definitely a backup.
So how do you think Coach Lau feels about this situation? I mean, he's on his fourth goalie, essentially, like you mentioned, if you add Lundqvist. You know, he's got these two young studs, and Samsonov has been out, and then Vitek gets hurt. I mean, I think you're going to need one of those guys here soon. Maybe Ilya's closer than we think, but how do you think Coach Lav approaches this mentally, that he's got, even though he's a veteran, he's still number four on the depth chart?
Absolutely. I think Peter Laviolette has said kind of multiple times this season, and I know it's very cliche, of this next man up mentality and filling holes, but it seems like this entire season the Capitals have had so many injuries, so many absences, suspensions, just kind of really thing after thing that they've had to overcome. And I feel like he's pretty comfortable with the group he has. And even at, you know, with Craig Anderson in net, you know, it's not the ideal situation. But again, Craig has been there before. He's 39, turning 40 this week. You know, Laviolette really loves Anderson's work ethic, the way that he's been around the team. I mean, it's not like Anderson hasn't been around the team all season. He has. He's been at every practice, you know, been on every road trip. So I think for Laviolette, you know, it's probably not the ideal. Nothing really goes 100% right. Playoffs, you need, you know, a couple lucky things happen to you. You need a couple breaks, and this break just went the wrong way for the Caps. But I'm sure, you know, Laviolette, known for his motivational speeches and everything like that, will kind of pull things together here.
What kind of adjustments do you expect by either team in game two?
I mean, it was a pretty physical game, you know, game one all around, I think, for both sides. I think the Capitals were honestly probably pretty happy with how that game turned out overall. It seemed like they got, you know, some of those high danger shots that they wanted, you know, kind of sustained offensive zone time on both sides. I'm sure, you know, even kind of containing the Bergeron line was probably one of the really big things that this group really wanted with the Eller line and probably the Dowd line. So, you know, overall, I'm sure both sides probably want more offense. But at least for the Capitals, I think game one was a huge win in the way they wanted to play, honestly.
Hmm. All right, what about Cousy? Who knows if we're going to see him in this series? Who knows if we're going to see him the rest of the playoffs?
My understanding is he's off the list too, right?
Yeah, he was back on the ice.
Where do we stand on him?
Maybe not.
Right, yeah. Yesterday was the first time Kuznetsov or Samsonov were on the ice for 2 weeks. And, you know, originally in the morning, Kuznetsov was not out of protocols. He came off the list last night. So technically, he is off the COVID list. But Peter Laviolette said yesterday to reporters that he's going to be unavailable to the team for a few more days. Mm-hmm. So that kind of signals, again, you know, probably not for game two. Maybe we see him for a game three or four. I think this all depends on, you know, Laviolette, honestly. I think it depends on the team. I think it depends on the health of Kuznetsov, if he feels like he can, you know, just jump right in. If you remember last time when all the four Russians were on the COVID list early in the season, I believe Ovechkin stepped on the ice for a morning skate and played the same day. For Orlov, it took a couple of days. So I think it's going to depend on how these guys are and how their conditioning is and, you know, really what they were doing these last 2 weeks.
We're joined by Samantha Pell, covers the Capitals for the Washington Post. You know, you look and see what Cousy did during the Cup run, just an amazing stretch he had for the Caps, helping lead them to the Stanley Cup, 32 points in 24 games. Do the higher-ups in the organization think that he can ever recapture that sort of run? Or, you know, does the inconsistency that he shows on the ice, is that more what he is to the people that are making decisions for the Capitals?
I mean, I definitely think management hopes that he can get back up to that 2018 self. I think that's why, you know, he's still here. But everyone, you know, has heard the rumors of maybe Kuznetsov getting traded in the offseason and all the rumblings. And I think everything's kind of fair at this point. I think there's frustration, you know, pretty much around this entire situation. Kuznetsov has been, you know, very up and down this season, lands on the COVID list initially with, you know, Ovechkin and Orlov and Samsonov because they violated, you know, COVID protocols. They violated team violations and, you know, the team got fined $100,000. I think that's kind of, you know, a first strike situation. And, you know, he had up and down season with his play. It looked like he was kind of hitting his stride there. People thought they saw a playoff Kuznetsov, you know, a few months ago. And now he ends up back on the COVID list and they're down, you know, their number one center, and it puts the team in a pretty bad position at this point in the playoffs. So I think to your question, there is hope that he can get back, but at this point, it's almost like kind of too many mistakes at this point.
How did we feel Ovi was in game one? Because I know that Alan May said when he came back in that last game, he thought that was the best he'd seen him skate all season. Maybe he needed that time off. How did he look to you?
I thought Alex looked really good game one. I think right off the bat, everyone remembers his huge hit there and just in, right in the beginning. And I think that kind of set the tone, I think, for Alex. You know, he did record, it was four shots on goal, had a little bit more shot attempts there. And even though he didn't score, I think he's probably a big presence on the ice. I think the Capitals needed, you know, that type of energy just right out the gate. And I think, yeah, I think he looks, you know, back to at least close to 100%. I know he said he's 100% fully healthy, but I agree with Alan. I think he needed that one game before the playoffs to really get his legs under him again. And, you know, Alex doesn't need a lot to get motivated, to get ready. And, yeah, he looks good to go.
So let's fast forward to tonight. Let's just hypothetically say that Anderson starts and wins the second game. The Caps go up 2-0, and then they head to Boston.
You can't pull him.
Yeah, I mean, if Vanacek is back and if Samsonov is deemed, you know, healthy enough and ready enough to play,
right?
I don't see how you'd go away from Anderson at that point.
Well, let me ask you this, Cakes. What if the game finishes 5-4?
I think it depends on, you know, what the goals look like.
Of course.
If there are four bad goals, or five bad goals.
If he's winning, you can't pull him. If he's winning, you can't pull him.
What do you think about that decision for Laviolette if Anderson wins the first two games?
Yeah, I think Laviolette all season has kind of gone with the hot hand in that situation. I think he would, you know, stick with a Craig Anderson. I think, you know, with VTech, maybe if Craig does win game one, game two, maybe that gives it gives VTech maybe a couple more days of rest, and then you see what happens in game three, and VTech could be ready for game four, or vice versa, you know, with Samsonov in that situation. But Laviolette tended to go with a hot hand in goal, so yeah, I would think game three should be Craig Anderson.
All right, you have any predictions for us here, Samantha?
You feel good about tonight?
Do I feel good about tonight? I mean, I think overall the Capitals got what they wanted out of game one. I think obviously the biggest question is in net with how Anderson does for another entire game against the Boston group. That's probably going to come out firing just on the offensive sense. But, you know, no prediction for me. I think the Capitals feel pretty good tonight.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Samantha. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, Samantha Pell.
I just put it up as our Junkies poll of the day.
Yeah.
The early lean is heavy on Caps winning. Poll of the day brought to you by Van Meter Homes. 80% right now say yes, they win game two. Be nice.
Well, that would be huge.
I mean, Anderson did play well in the overtime win over the Flyers and basically saved them in the first playoff game.
Yeah.
Maybe he's your hot goalie.
Well, look, I was texting back and forth with Alan May after VTech got hurt, and he said he feels really good about Anderson because Anderson's got the experience.
Right.
And he sent me a screenshot of some of the big games he's played in the playoffs, and he's done well. But again, the guy's 40 years old.
Right. Goes back like 4 years since he's been in the playoffs.
He was coaching youth baseball down in Florida like in December.
Nice.
Is that right? He was out of the game?
Yeah. I mean, he was just waiting for a team to call. The Capitals gave him a call.
Right.
They realized they had two young guys, and, you know, with what happened to Lundqvist, they felt like they needed another veteran presence with, you know, the youth that they have in the goalie room. And
I'm in the minority here, but I wouldn't rule out Laviolette going with Samsonov.
No, I think there's no way.
I would rule
maybe
out.
For
I feel
game
even better
game
that
two.
You're ruling it out.
For game two, I would rule it out.
Maybe
why,
for
that,
game
why
three.
Why would you do that? Why would you
it took
mix
two
that?
Weeks off. 2 weeks off. Nice little vacation. Didn't Al May just tell us Ovi took a couple weeks off and it was his best ever?
Well, it's the best he skated.
Okay, well, this guy faced shots yesterday.
Come on, it's not
practice
enough.
Shots.
Why would you bench the hot hand? The team has confidence in him. He's playing well. Ride it out.
The team doesn't have that much confidence in him. They played him four times in a whole season.
As they said, when he settled him down. Oshie said it afterwards. Great goalie.
I understand that they're going to say that. They got to win. It's a good story. But if they had that much confidence in him, they would have played him more than four games in an entire
year. They're trying to develop the young guy.
He's a third stringer. They're trying to win games during the season. The head coach is trying to win games.
Of course he's trying to win.
Generally rolls out the best player.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to start Ilya tonight, but I don't know how long the leash is, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think it's as long as he's winning.
You guys are probably right.
I know.
But I would not be shocked if he goes with Samsonov if he's the best goalie.
All right, 5-1.
All right, put $1 on 5-1.
Thank you. All right. Feist.
If Craig Anderson allows two early in the first period, I don't think they're going to pull him for a Copley. But or an Ilya, but I think that they would certainly rethink what they're going to do in Game 3.
Well, it depends on how he plays in that in the next two periods.
I'm just guessing that Laviolette would be more likely, if you're going to go with your scenario, he's going to be more likely not to go with Copley, who's played in Hershey the entire year, than to go with Samsonov, who's been
Copley's
an emergency guy.
He would be the mid-game replacement, is what Jason's saying.
Well, I don't think.
Why wouldn't you? If you're not, why wouldn't Ilya
I don't think they're going to pull Anderson for Copley.
Let me just say this: if you see Phoenix Copley on the ice tonight, outside of warm-ups, that's trouble. It's over, Johnny. The game is done.
Well, you know, we were
worried about it. That
Samantha
point.
Made a good point. I mean, what Cousy and Ilya have done to this team? Cousy's a nightmare. I'm sorry, he's a complete nightmare. Mm-hmm. We know what happened a couple of years ago. COVID list twice, breaking protocol. Look, it's a hole that they're putting these guys in. And, you know, we talked about maybe TJ Oshie being exposed for the Kraken draft. I would expose Cousy with the quickness. I don't know if they would take him.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know if they would take him at the
salary. I don't know if you'd want Cousy.
Isn't he making like $7+ million? For
yeah,
at least
I mean,
three or four
you'd
more
much
years?
Rather have TJ, but man, I would if I had to pick between the Cousy and TJ to keep. I'm keeping TJ all
close.
Day long.
Oh yeah,
he's going to be a tough guy to move salary wise.
Yeah.
In Cousy, it's going
to
be.
But
brutal.
I mean, for them to do this in the playoffs to this team, I mean that's ridiculous. Just follow a protocol. It's not to get to a meeting on
what
time.
What did they do? Does anybody know what they did?
No, but yeah, they obviously didn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
Originally, I just thought they like blew off a meeting or something.
I don't think they blew it off. I think they showed up late.
We'll probably never find out.
Partying. And just showed up late, hammered.
But, I mean, think about it.
Smelled alcohol in their breath.
Probably. And then happened to catch COVID twice. Look, like, what is that?
We hate meetings. We know they stink. But just show up for them on time. Yeah. And please be on time. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Tom Coughlin over here. I'm not saying you have to be 15 minutes early. Just be on time.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you, like, separate yourself from the group, the pack. And those guys seem to separate themselves.
I wonder what
the
other players
pack.
Feel. I mean, I'm sure the Russians are more supportive, but I wonder what the TJs and the Carlys and the Sprongs and the Shearys, how they feel about this.
I don't know.
Look, sure I know not. Craig Anderson's happy.
The players are used to all of that kind of like drama that we bring up on the air. It's second nature to them. Like the way that
it hurts the
Lars
team.
Talked about Tom Wilson's, you know, what we made a big deal of Tom Wilson's hit.
Yeah, but that was different. But that was an on-ice thing.
Yeah.
There's no way they're happy
about it. I think
the
off-icing, most of the guys, they've experienced it all. Just another day.
Yeah, I know, but this has happened multiple times now with the
guys. And look, they all want to win. And they know who the best players are.
Right. Well, he's one of the best.
Well, look,
right.
You're a better team. Exactly. You're a better team with them on the ice.
Exactly. It's not the time to like make some sort of statement. Yeah. Time to win games. So you want the best players on the ice to win games.
That's fine, but if he's not ready and he goes out there and he turns the puck over, or he doesn't, you know, he makes a bad defensive play or a key penalty, then that's what
you're
risking.
He might light a fire under him. He might go out there and play like his pants are on fire, which is kind of what you need from him.
You're going to be psyched if he does the bird tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He's not playing.
I'm just saying.
He's not playing. JP's grasping.
JP thinks Ilya's going to be between the pipes and Kuzi's going to be doing his
JP
bird.
I didn't say I think it.
Okay, we bet 5-1 odds. I just said don't be stunned if it happens.
I would be stunned.
I think he's in play.
JP thinks Strauss should rehab at the major league level.
Correct.
Right.
Here's my face.
Why waste his pitches in the minors?
Here's my face if Ilya's
makes
in
no
that.
Sense.
Surprise! I'm going to be stunned.
Yeah,
I'm going to be flabbergasted.
Why would you bench a guy who just came off a huge win?
You wouldn't.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Because it's not going to happen.
And he's a vet. It's not like he's a rookie. He's a vet. Been around.
I'm
been
so
a ton
rooting
of
for
why?
I played four games this year.
I'm rooting for the old guy. I guess it's for all old.
I just whoever's there, whoever's in that, I want him to play well.
Yeah. V-Tech.
By the way, there's no way Craig Anderson could do that. Not at 40.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We'll get into the Wizards coming up at 9 o'clock with Chase Hughes from NBC Sports Washington. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Got a game two in the playoffs. You know what? Just dropped down to 69% confidence level in the Caps winning game two tonight.
Really?
Well, it's going to be
makes sense.
It's going to be a barroom brawl.
Toss up,
don't you think? It's a. I mean, I think.
I mean, the first game was overtime, right?
Yeah, of course.
Couldn't have
been. Doesn't look
closer.
Like it's a mismatch. Didn't the Bruins win the season series?
I was tied.
I was tied 4-4.
But split-y. It was like that meaningless one at the end.
Split, yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of intrigue now. Now I can't wait. I'm convinced. Well, I'm convinced that Anderson's going to be out there. I think he'll play.
So am I. I'm convinced of that too. Yeah. I'm not sure how well he'll play.
I think he'll play okay.
I like though if this happens here for a couple of weeks. I like that the Wizards are playing on the Caps off day. So potentially we've got like a playoff game every day.
Right.
I know that might not happen because I guess if the Wizards were to win, they might have to wait like 4 or 5 days to play their next game, I guess, in the next round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they end up playing the Brooklyn Nets. But I personally want to see them play the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to talk Chase Hughes about the Wizards coming up at 9 as they ended up earning the 8th seed. Thanks to Charlotte kind of stumbling down the stretch, and then they got the win against Charlotte yesterday. So Hill will join us at 9. I was wondering, though, EB, I was thinking this yesterday. So Steph Curry won the scoring title.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And does it
you could see that coming. I saw that coming.
Did Beal finish second last year, too?
Yes. I believe he finished second back-to-back years.
Who was the leading scorer a year ago?
Was it Giannis? I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah. I know. I'm kind of like EB where I know it really doesn't mean anything.
No, it means something.
But it means a little something to say, you know, our guy led the league in scoring.
Oh, yeah. You want that on your resume.
Before the game, they were kind of going through some calculations. And I know Steph went off. And you know that if Steph had a chance to respond to Beal, he would. But the scenario was something like this.
Last year was Harden.
If Steph, okay, James Harden.
Harden 34.5, and then Brad averaged
what did
just
Harden
over
average this year?
Well, he probably didn't even qualify because he missed so many games.
Oh, okay, that's what it is.
But also his scoring, remember when he joined the Nets, his scoring went way down. He became kind of like their leading assist guy. Mm-hmm. He really is. If they end up playing the Nets, you're going to see that Harden is really the point guard and Kyrie Irving is almost the two guard. When they're on the court together, they've barely been on the court together.
Yeah.
That's why that matchup potentially could be better for them. Not only they don't have to worry about Joel Embiid, but how much chemistry does that Nets team have? You know,
they barely probably not. Together. But they're three they superstars.
Yeah. But one of them could be banged up for part of the series, which you would love if you're the Wiz.
But anyway, the scenario before the game, and I was somewhat intrigued. Except the game was important. It wasn't a meaningless game for the Wizards. Was that if Steph like scored like an average 25, like a ho-hum 30, that Beal could have won the scoring title if he went off for like 55.
Right, if he knew.
So I was wondering if he was just going to come out just guns blazing.
Well, he kind of did, but he was 0 for his first 6.
Right.
So he clearly was not 100% in rhythm.
Yeah.
And I know he got better in the fourth quarter.
Brad would say, you know, he'd rather win the game than win the scoring title, but.
Of course. What did he finish with? He still finished with 25. What was the final? What were the averages? Like, what was Steph and what was Beal?
Four-tenths of a point, maybe?
That sucks because Beal was ahead of him 90% of the season. But maybe 95.
Yeah. If you want to talk about hot, Steph has just played unbelievable the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Like, he'll – see, we were talking about Westbrook getting MVP votes. Steph's going to get some MVP votes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, LeBron said he was the MVP in his opinion.
That's just because they're about to play him, right? In the play-in?
They are going to play each other, yes.
Yeah, so Steph finished at 31.8 points per game, Beal 31.4.
Right. Yeah, he had 46 in his final game.
I'm not sure he could have caught him, even if he had a dud.
Well, look, Curry was just...
I mean, Beal would have had to score like 70.
We saw what he did in the month of April. Look, he averaged 37 a game in the month of April. And then he came back, and in May, in what, 8-9 games, he probably averaged 35.
We're Wiz fans. We can't have nice things. We can't win 50 games in a season for like 50 years, and we come in second in the scoring title.
Some people were asking me.
Well, wait a minute. Are you really worried about that?
No.
Didn't you want them to just win the game?
I couldn't care less about that.
Yeah, who cares about it?
I'm sure Brad cares about it to an extent, but it's not that important.
Well, yeah. Like if pretend you were an Olympian, Case. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what your event would be.
Yeah, what would it be? Biathlon? What would it be? What would my
so
event
you're an Olympian.
Be?
But what if you were a four-time Olympian, which is a great accomplishment just to be in the Olympics. Like our buddy Chris Farley's wife was in the Olympics.
Yep.
Unbelievable accomplishment. She ran in the Olympics, right? But let's take it a step further. What if you won the silver?
I'm silly.
And then you won the silver again.
Right.
And you come back 4 years later and won the silver again.
Well, you want gold at some point.
Yeah, at some point, like, you want to win. Hey. So Beal's second place twice.
Did Farley and his wife hit skins in the Olympic Village? I think they did, right?
I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't that where everyone's all horny?
I mean, I don't know.
Didn't Farley say? I think they did. I think they hit skins.
I don't remember that. I
mean, it just makes me laugh.
You would remember that.
It makes me laugh that he's the inferior runner of the two in that relationship, which is weird.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Farley can text me, but I think they did hit skins in there, right? That's where they're just giving out condoms all over the place, right?
But was he allowed to stay in the Olympic Village?
Maybe he snuck
he's
in.
He's not an Olympian.
Yeah.
Maybe he snuck
he's
in.
He's just a number.
Yeah. Maybe she just hit skins in the Olympic Village.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
He'd be salty.
Yeah, that would be good. I think they did, though. I think maybe they snuck in.
I think you might be making this up, but I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure. I remember talking about
I mean, I'm running with him after the show, but that's a weird conversation to have.
Well, you have to bring it up now.
You wouldn't just ask him straight up?
Oh, you're back on the post-show running with Farley
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, but I mean, it's so, I'm sure it'll be sporadic.
I need to get back on it.
It's so nice out. God, beautiful. The last few days have been amazing.
I know, it's beautiful.
Right. It's a shame I can't even play golf without throwing my back out.
I'm so bitter. I mean, like, pre-COVID, I was up to, like, my 13 miles, like, ramping up for the marathon.
You look
and they
like
shut
you're
everything
still limping.
Down.
Are you still limping, or is that just
I mean,
how you
who
walk?
Knows? Just old age. Yeah. Get well, out of chair
to me about
after a
that.
While.
Right.
Talk to me about old age. I've got an eye and a shoulder problem simultaneously.
Oh, I've got a long list. But, yeah, I'm going to try and do the Marine Corps this fall, so I need to start. Ramping it up, but I know my
Your
first
body
run.
Will break down. I'm going to say you don't make it.
My first run post COVID was not good, yeah. But that just might be from being fat, eating too many cookies.
Yeah. Well, I know Cakes pointed out that Cowboy, you know, he posted a picture of his Magic Spoon cereal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was great. He said he was going to lose some lbs, and right below it is a pizza box.
Yeah, yeah you got to crop that out, Cowboy.
I mean, come on, Cowboy. You can't have pizza and I mean, the cereal's not going to do it alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It will fill you up though. It'll fill you up, and then hopefully you don't eat as much crap.
Yeah.
I got
well,
come,
like I said, my wife got four boxes on the kitchen table.
Does she have the variety pack or all fruity?
No, they're variety, bro.
Variety, yeah.
Well, Drab keeps coming in here and putting his dirty mitts right
know.
In the thing.
No, I think Drab has
is
learned.
He pouring
no,
it in?
He knows to pour well,
I've
it
seen
out
him
the
put
box.
His dirty hands
I did,
right
one
in there.
One time I did put my hand in
though
there.
He did struggle. He really did struggle but to open, in, open the inner packaging, the plastic.
Yeah. Well, hold on. There's two things. First of all, I opened a box of cereal at my house this weekend, and it went everywhere.
Okay.
So I was very nervous about ruining your guys' cereal package.
Right.
Here.
Also, where are we going to put these so that you know guys don't steal it? Like, I don't want JP and B. Mitch or Landfill to steal my cereal.
I think they'll know it's a Junkies Bay.
You think?
Yeah. Also, I put my hands in because I saw Eric put his hands
oh,
in.
Oh, you did.
I did it the first time, and then I poured.
That's pretty good. You touch your nose like every 10 seconds.
That's not the only thing I touch.
Yeah, that box is radioactive.
That
Stay
box,
away.
That might be toxic right there.
Yeah.
Be careful.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we will dive into the Wizards, their play-in game, and their future with Chase Hughes. Covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington. That's here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.